and welcome to TFS Spotlight, your number one source for anything and everything film-related. Again, as usual, I'm joined by my usual co-host, Tasha Gary.
Hello.
And as you may have guessed, I didn't say the number of the episode this time because, frankly, we're in enough episodes now that I don't really care to say it anymore.
Yeah, we've kind of reached your numerical height as far as you can count.
Yeah, we have. Hash and I on Thursday saw a film called The Book of Eli starring Denzel Washington and Mila Kunis and Gary Oldman. And it took us by surprise to how good it really was. So after that, we decided that we wanted to share with you guys and we wanted to discuss the genre of post-apocalyptic films. You know, what makes them so iconic? What makes them such cult classics? What do people love about post-apocalyptic films? What do they hate about post-apocalyptic films? So, Hash, what is the history of the post-apocalyptic genre?
Well, the history is that generally there's just writers who wonder how the world would be when most of the population gets eradicated. And most people think that post-apocalypse happened only during the Cold War, while there was this nuclear threat of basically launching a bunch of nukes and everybody on the Earth dying. But what people don't know is that it started much earlier than that in the 1800s, only without nukes, it was a plague. Typical writers would just write about how there's a spread of a plague and there's the vegetation is desolate because of the diseases, and it has all the same points that any other post-apocalyptic genre piece would, only it's with a different means. So then the Cold War came about, and that opened up a huge door, and we got hundreds of stories and films about the post-apocalypse, mostly concerning nuclear warfare. But what most people don't realize is there are a bunch of other movies, like zombie movies are post-apocalyptic, movies that deal with diseases, the spread of diseases are also post-apocalyptic, eclipsing those of the earlier writings in the 1800s. But typically, when most people think of post-apocalypse, they think of nuclear war, nuclear holocaust era pieces.
But they think Mad Max, they think Terminator, they think and stuff like that. And there's so many films that encompass this genre, and some of these films have just become classics. I mean, you have Mad Max. Terminator, in a way, can be defined as post-apocalyptic, but set in present day.
Mm-hmm. A Boy and His Dog.
Right. Your George A. Romero films are post-apocalyptic. And it all encompasses, it's like, you know, it's evolved over time as to many people, like, what will be the end of civilization? You know, will it be the sun frying everything? Will it be nuclear war? Will it be chemical warfare? Will it be a natural disaster, like in The Happening, which is bad, but...
Or in no, still, yeah,
any role, the, any role in Emmerich film that you can name,
pretty much. Yeah.
It all brings us to the modern day post-apocalyptic film, which the most recent example is this film called The Book of Eli. And The Book of Eli has. We're gonna give a semi review of The Book of Eli right now. And first of all, I need to say that The Book of Eli was something I did not expect. I was taken back by it, and it puts a new, I think it honestly puts a new spin on the post-apocalyptic genre. A lot of times you have these, post-apocalyptic films, they've always tried to show the microcosm and the macrocosm effects of this new post-civilization war world. And Book of Eli takes it and looks only at the microcosm. And it doesn't tell you how the war what caused whatever happened. They say it was a war. Why is everything orange and glowing, and why the sun? You're led to believe that something happened. It opened up a hole in the ozone layer, and the sun fried everything.
Yeah, it's right? One of those make your own background. They leave it open for any interpretation.
And, I'm not here to discuss its heavy-handed religious messages. I don't care to. And that's something we'll leave to Jordan and Dan when they do their review. But, I think it puts a new visual spin on the post-apocalyptic genre. What do you think?
I don't think it puts a new spin on it. I think it just shows it in a different way. It didn't really... It was a very, very good post-apocalyptic film, and if anybody has played the game Fallout, you're basically watching Fallout the movie. It doesn't really redefine the subgenre, but it's definitely a very, very, very good addition to it. And they do employ a lot of techniques that create... I think they were able to faithfully make this world believable, rather than, you know, making this fantasy. We're just at the border of this fantasy place in this story, but still with its gritty look and the way that some of these shots are done. And it was shot beautifully. Mm-hmm. It was shot incredibly. I think they were able to really make us believe that this world exists.
Definitely. They give you little hints to say, like, maybe a nuke went off or something. And, you know, I want to go through that because pretty much since the Cold War, it's all been about nuclear warfare, and the nukes are going to be the things that destroy us all. And do you think that's getting tired? Like that whole idea of just nukes are going to be the thing that ends humanity. Like, do you think that they're just getting old now? We need something new.
Well, it's still a relevant topic. I think that the way it's being done has been played out a bit. But like what Eli did is they didn't explain exactly what happened. It was just kind of like, okay, this happened, this isn't the main point of the story, let's move on. Same with Akira, which is post-apocalyptic. They don't really you just get a simple introduction that says World War III happened, here's the rest of the world. I think what past movies did was focus so much on the action of nukes going off that it distracted from the message and main storyline that it was showing. No fault to them, because at that time it was building up nukes causing a desolate world was a new idea. But after looking back and seeing it so many times, it does get tiresome. I don't think that the whole idea of nukes wiping out most of the population is we don't necessarily have to move away from it. I think it just needs to be done in a different way. Like The Road, which I saw last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, there is barely any visual effects in it at all. There are a few wide shots where it establishes what world you're in, but generally it's done on a more personal basis, and I think The Road does a good job of doing that whole, okay, we've established this world, we're not going to concentrate on the action or the exactly how it happened. We're concentrating more on the people that are trying to survive through it. And The Road did that very, very well. And it's shot very bleakly. It's done in a way that reflects the story. And it's
a movie of 2009, right?
Oh, God, it's the... I went out there. I personally, seriously walked out with a huge smile on my face. Walked away from that movie with a huge smile on my face. Just because
you're just the most cynical person.
Oh, God, it was so good.
But well, now that I know you saw The Road, just a quick question. Is it true people say that The Book of Eli is just a Hollywood version of The Road?
I think Eli is definitely... I don't think Hollywood is the right word. And the stories are very, very different. I'd say that Eli is much more stylized. Much more stylized than...
I got a feeling... I was harking back to 300 while I was watching Eli.
I don't think it's that stylized. Particularly in one scene, there are sequences which are clearly complicated and set up extremely... very precise in the actions that are done and incredibly timed. I don't think it was really at the level of 300 where it kind of just it goes off the deep.
It's interesting you say that, because that seems to be another cliche in the genre, is this very simplistic idea is surrounded in these very complex situations.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli, you had to deal with this whole complex idea of there's cannibals and there's little tiny pockets of civilization all around the world, and no one really knows where if anyone's going to survive. They're running low on water, supplies, fuel, and they're just trying to make it by. And it's like this, you would think that sounds like a very simplistic story, but in essence, it's actually one of the more complex things to pull off, because we can't predict how people would actually act in this time frame, because we're never going to experience it. I mean, if the apocalypse comes, we're fucked. So, you and I personally are fucked anyway. So, I think...
Well, I'd probably be more likely hiding underground than you, so I think my chances are a bit higher of surviving.
Yeah, as Zombieland says, you know, the fatties go first.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, it's funny that you mentioned that whole, you know, we're led to believe that there are these pockets of civilization throughout the world, when, in fact, we only see one pocket of civilization in that entire
movie. Yeah, but you're led to believe there are others.
Exactly. See, that's what I was saying on how this, it was a post-apocalyptic movie that was able to not really go in-depth and explain what it had to. We were able to infer this based on what was shown to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it made us believe that this world was there. And I think that's something, I think post-apocalyptic movies dwell, or at least have dwelled too much on showing the effect all over the world, and because they're afraid of showing an in-depth look of one certain place, because people won't think that the overall feeling is given everywhere on the earth.
Well, the thing is, Eli tries to give you a two-sided thing, in this case on religion, and how it affects society. It tries to give you both sides of that. It does lean more towards one side than it does the other.
It leans a lot towards one side.
It leans a lot towards one side, but it tries to give you at least a little bit of the other side as well.
That's sad. I mean, honestly, if you think about it, if you're in that situation and all morals are gone, you don't really have to show the other side, because you know people are just going to be insane.
Mm-hmm. Is that another cliche that the genre has fallen into, where they try so hard to show both the psychotic and the insane side of society, as well as the nurturing and caring side of society? Do you feel that the genre, whenever a movie comes out like this, they always try to show both, and it ends up being too much, and really it just needs to pick a side?
Well, I don't think that's a problem, because that is that's a staple of the subgenre, is you have these insane people who lack all moral values, and they do these incredibly humane things, and they have these crazy hairs and the goggles all the time. That's something that the subgenre is known for. So I don't think that it's...
That was like
so
a harker back to cyberpunk, wouldn't you think?
I'd see more steampunk with the goggles that they had. Yeah, actually, when I was watching the movie, it was dancing in between steampunk and cyberpunk, but it was definitely... Typically, post-apocalyptic movies are cyberpunk, due to the technological aspects involved, especially with the nuclear war aspect. Eli was dancing in between. I have to say it's more towards the steampunk, because those awesome goggles, I want one. Anyways, I don't think that those ideas or choosing a side, having to choose a side, is a problem. Again, the whole thing is, we've seen it so many times. How are you going to show it differently? You need to have the whole thing about post-apocalyptic subgenre is, how far will you go to survive? That's what the overall caring, that's the motif in all of the movies, is how far will people go to survive? Will humanity be able to keep its morals with a gun to its face?
Right. So I think we can agree that Eli is a good example of that. But what are some of the poor examples of a post-apocalyptic movie? If you didn't see it, I did. 2012 it was the start of post-apocalyptic society. It's like, is this the world, this is the point where the world's ending, so they need to restart. So in essence, it's the direct aftermath of a post-apocalyptic world. And it tried to take in too many different viewpoints at once, and it seemed to fall flat on its face because you had too many stories trying to interact at the same time. Mm-hmm. That was one of the big problems I have with it. Another poor example of a post-apocalyptic film would probably be any of the really later George A. Romero zombie films. The later ones. The one that... Mm-hmm. And besides the fact that it's played out in the trilogy of the others that everyone establishes as really the his zombie films, is that you're not sure who you want to root for. Do I care that these people are the last people left on Earth? It's like, I don't give a damn. What about you?
Yeah, I don't think that should I decide whether or not to care for these people is really the right word, because that might be what the people are trying to, the filmmakers are trying to go for. Should you care about should this? Because that goes along with the whole theme of.
It depends on what they're going for. If they're like going for a I should care about these people and then I don't care about these people, then they fail.
Yes. Personally, the most recent example of that is I Am Legend.
That was a good one, though.
It was good, but as far as should I really care about this person, shouldn't I cared about the dog more than I did Will Smith.
Right.
And when the dog died, then I was just kind of like, okay, I really don't care what's going on here. Because that movie...
I think Will Smith was supposed to be the MacGuffin in that film. You're really supposed to care about that girl, the woman who comes through the town. You're really supposed to care about her story more than you're supposed to care about Will Smith's story.
I don't agree, but I think there are a lot of problems that I have. I mean, I like the movie, but as far as post-apocalypse goes, you know, it didn't really, it wasn't a good credit for the genre.
What about a film like Mad Max, which is like considered one of the more iconic, post-apocalyptic films? What did they do right versus maybe what I Am Legend did? Or you know, like a better example would be comparing Mad Max to The Book of Eli, because they're very similar in ways.
Well, they're similar in the way that they're able to explain to you this, or they're not even able. Mad Max does explain what happens, but more along the lines of they're similar in the way that they very well established the world they're in, which was incredible with Mad Max given its budget. I just felt with Mad Max that they were with all the how cars were their main, you know, their weapons basically, how people thrived off of the use of vehicles, you know, and the desolate wastelands that they were, wherever they shot it, I forgot where, but where they shot it definitely was able to create this world because they didn't use many visual effects at all, like any, if that. And because of that, we get this natural feel of what the world would be like.
And suspense. Another thing I want to talk about is people, is there a difference between dystopian genre and post-apocalyptic genre, or would you consider them maybe the same?
What's the definition of dystopian?
Dystopian would be more along the lines of something like RoboCop. Or Gamer, the more recent film, Gamer. That's dystopian future, where the world has gone to shit, but civilization still exists. Versus post-apocalyptic, where I would say that the world goes to shit, but civilization went to shit too.
Well, I think that's one of the main selling points of the apocalyptic one, is they're trying to regain society. And if there's still society there, then they kind of defeats one of the...
There's always going to be still society in these movies, because there's still pockets of independent civilizations around the land, and you see how these independent civilizations act alone. You even saw this in like the third Resident Evil film, which is the best example of the post-apocalyptic version out of those three films. You know, that's the real post-apocalyptic one. That one, you know, like, you know, everyone's traveling in convoys, and the difference between that, it's not a good film. I think that's another bad example, but of the genre. But what's interesting about that film is they don't really place anyone in pockets of civilization. Everyone's traveling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That one was harkening back to, like Dawn of the Dead, when they armored up their vehicles to try to get across the United States without getting killed by zombies. And then, you know, you have the more comical versions of this genre, like Zombieland. And Zombieland took a new take on it by making the zombie apocalypse fill the world a backdrop to the story, and now to have it actually be the story. Like, what do you think about when you look at the comedic versions of this genre?
Just like the comedic values in any other genre. Any, like, sci-fi comedies, or any other genre comedy. It has its place, and they can do a good job of playing around with the idea. It's just whether or not it works out.
And how much of the actual characters does it play into post-apocalyptic films? Like, how much do characters matter, would you say?
Well, if you want a quintessential definition of that, of the answer of that question, see The Road, because that is all about following a single group and their relation towards each other, a single family and their relationship towards each other and the events that happen with them.
So is it better to have a post-apocalyptic film that focuses more on character or focuses more on the world as a whole? Like I said, the microcosm, macrocosm.
Well, you need a balance between the two, and that's extremely hard to do, is you need to... It's not a post-apocalyptic film unless you believably establish that something terrible happened and the world is almost inhabitable. At the same time, you don't want to push it too much, or else it'll be like, okay, we get it, and you don't want to distract from characters and how they're living through it. And again, you don't want to focus on that too much, because then you could just say, well, what's the big problem with them living? I don't understand why. I don't see this whole world being as bad as they're saying it is. So it's very hard, but you need to be able to walk down the line in equal amounts in order for it to be pulled off.
Do you think that when a post-apocalyptic film has a message, it's usually heavy-handed? Because I felt that many times these films have very heavy-handed message about society, and sometimes it works, like in Eli, it works for it, but other times, like in Dawn of the Dead, more so the remake, or even better, The Happening. The Happening's the best version of that. In The Happening, the messages get very heavy-handed, and they detract from the story, which is why I asked you, is it should be more about character, because when you make it about the message, I feel sometimes that you overshadow the film with your big message about, you know, we're consuming too much, or we are not good to each other, or stuff like that.
Well, again, that's the same, on the same lines of, you need to find out a perfect balance between the two. It's really tough to do, and if you don't want to shove your idea down someone's throat, certainly not, and especially with this genre of film, because it's all of them are the same variation of the same type. You don't want to do that.
Well, last thing, for you, what makes a good post-apocalyptic film?
A believable world. First and foremost, because that's one of the main selling points. It doesn't necessarily have to be shown in very fancy, stylized ways, like Eli did, which worked for Eli, but it doesn't have to be that way. It could be a much more low-key, very underground viewing of it, kind of like how The Road did, although in some cases, in some points. Or it could just focus more on the characters and how they're walking through, and then you get a general sense, like Akira did. To me, the world has to be very important. The characters have to have some kind of relationship with how they're dealing with the world that they're in, like Eli did, like Akira did with his bike gang, or like how that family did in The Road. Those two are the main things. And you have to have some kind of, because even if it's unintentional, you're going to have some kind of message of how we treat the planet or how we treat each other. And that's regardless, whether you want or not, it's going to happen in this kind of a movie.
So then if it's there, then do you say...
If it's there...
No, I'm saying like, if you're saying that by default it's there, do you need to try and put it there then?
Well, that's what I was going to say, that it's going to be there regardless of what you try and do, so you have to be able to handle showing this message appropriately. You don't want to oversell it, you don't want to undersell it, you don't want to act like, if you don't know that this is happening, then that this is going to show up, then you're really not prepared for what you're making. At the same time, you don't want to just show everything to the world and repeat what you want people to get and just spoon feed them everything. So it needs to be, another point is that it just needs to be in between those two. So the world, the characters, and the message, if all those three are handled appropriately with an excellent balance, I think you'll have a good post-apocalyptic movie.
Okay, for me, what makes a good post-apocalyptic is what you said. It has to be very good at world building. And you need to establish, you know, this very dystopian, this very bleak world to pull off the fact that everyone here is alone, basically. And I think you also need to have very strong character relations. Because if let's face it, honestly, people think it's boring to just watch one guy walk around their desolate world for 2 hours. You need to have that character have interaction with something in some way, like even like Castaway. Even though it's not a post-apocalyptic, but you get the same idea where you have this one character, at least he is interacting with something. In this case, volleyball. But he's interacting with something. So it gives the audience something to grasp onto, that idea of human relations still exists no matter what. And it also harkens back to the idea that humans are social creatures and require contact with other humans to survive, which makes sense. Otherwise, you go crazy in your own head. And I think that's what makes a good postdoc. Now, how you make the apocalypse occur, whether it be through zombies, whether it be through nukes, whether it be through disease, you just have to make sure that however you do it respectably where it's believable.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure it's believable. Like, make sure I can believe that zombies somehow suddenly sprung up out of nowhere. Like in Zombieland, they say it was Mao Cow, Walden's a mad human, and they established that. In Book of Eli, they really don't go into it, but they give me enough to be like, okay, there's probably a war, probably some nukes went off, something happened that burned a hole in the ozone layer, etc. You know, be good at that, give me some good character relations, and that's all you really need. Just give me a journey of just people trying to survive, and I think you have that's the formula. It's really a 1+1=2 situation. That's it for our discussion on post-apocalyptic films. There's not really much to say. I mean, this genre is very cut and dry. People are split down the middle of it. Some love, half people hate it, half people will love it. So, Hash, where can people find more of you on the internet?
You can find my author page on the film stage.
/author/on904. One day you are going to complete that sentence.
Yeah, one day I am.
You can find me at the film stage also, /author/sonic43, at twitter.com/sonic43. And at marobar.com. You can also now go on Facebook and search TFS Spotlight, and you will find our fan page, and you can become a fan of TFS Spotlight. You can also go to iTunes and subscribe to us via iTunes or any RSS reader, which you'll see on this page that you're listening to. Leave us a comment if you like it. If not, then I'm tired of asking.
Yeah, give us some ideas if you'd like to discuss anything.
Definitely. Also, you email meryl@thefilmstage.com. with any ideas or topics of discussion you might have. That's it. Hopefully next week I'll still have a job.
We'll see.
We'll see. Pray for me.
No.
And that's it, everyone. Have a good day.
Take care.